On page 630. Okay, where did we get up to? We got up to, I believe, we're going to start Pasuk Ches. Sentence 8 on page 630. Close to the top of the page. Okay, we're learning about this concept called the Zov, which is a man who flows certain liquids from the body, becomes Tameh, he becomes an Avatuma. Okay, it's a discharge. Anything that he lays on becomes Tameh, even if it's like 10 beddings, all 10 become Tameh. If he sits on a Keli, it also becomes, you know, everything he sits on becomes Tameh. Okay, in Pasuk Zayin he says, when the Gebet Zara Zov, if somebody touches the body of a Zov, Yechabiz Begadav has to wash his clothing, meaning take it to the mikveh, V'rochatz B'mayim, and he goes to the mikveh, V'tameh Ad Ha'erev. Okay, so if you touch a Zov, you Tameh for 7 days. Chiyorek Azov Batohar, if a Zov spits on somebody who is pure, he doesn't touch him, he just spits on him. V'chibiz Begadav, the person has to wash his clothing, V'rochatz B'mayim, and he goes to the mikveh, V'tameh Ad Ha'erev. And like we said, washing the clothing means that you have to put him into the mikveh. Okay? In other words, just like his discharge and his body is an av hatuma, the main category of impurity, that if he touches another person, the person becomes impure. So if a zav spits at somebody, it's like he touched him, and he has to take his clothing to the mikveh, he has to table, go to the mikveh, and he remains impure until the evening. V'chol amerkav, asheyirkav alav azav, any riding that the zav will ride on. Meaning, this refers to the riding equipment that supports him, that he shouldn't fall off the horse. Okay? Now, the saddle of the blankets, that becomes tamei, like a moshav, meaning it all becomes tamei. But here he's speaking about, in addition to this, the riding things that he rides becomes tamei. Okay? All this, and in other words, anything that comes in contact with the zav becomes tamei. Now, the animal does not become Tameh, because a living animal willing can never become Tameh. A living animal can never become impure. The dead carcass of an animal is impure, but a living animal can never become impure. V'chol anegeya, anybody that touches, v'chol asheyia tachtov, that will be underneath the zov, or underneath the riding equipment, yitmar erev, will become Tameh until the evening. V'anei esem, if somebody carries them, Yechabiz Begadav, they have to carry, to put the clothing in the mikveh. Meaning, if you touch him, you become, the Torah doesn't say wash your clothing. They say if you touch it, you become Tameh. But if you carry them, then your clothing also become Tameh. In other words, we're learning throughout all these psukim, sometimes the person himself becomes impure, needs to go to the mikveh. Sometimes it even goes to the clothing of the person, which also become impure, and he needs to go to the mikveh. What? Until nightfall. When it says evening, it means nightfall, which is, let's say, practically speaking, an hour after candle lighting. Okay, because that's usually the way you figure, like an hour after candle light. When Shabbos is over, that's the concept of nightfall. In fact, that's the first Mishnah of the entire Mishnah says that. When do you read the Shema of the evening? When the Kayanim are able to start eating Truma again. So what is the explanation of the Mishnah? If a Kohen became Tameh, if he became impure, he's not allowed to eat Truma. He has to go to the mikveh, and he has to wait until nightfall. Right? Then he's allowed to start eating Truma again. So the Mishnah says, you know when the night Shema begins, at the time the Kohanim are allowed to start eating Truma again, which means at nightfall. In fact, the Gemara asks, why isn't the Mishnah just saying nightfall? The Gemara says, it teaches us that when Kohanim, when you go to the mikveh and you tummy until the evening, right, this refers to Tzeisei Kochavim, when the stars come out.
So in this pasuk, Tzeisei Yud, it says, if he touches the person or his clothing or anything, he becomes
Tameh.
Tameh, but his clothing or not. Is it
right? But when the Torah says the clothing have to be washed, meaning the clothing also become tummy. So sometimes, if you carry it,
right,
that, or you lay on it, you know, then the tummy is stronger, so to speak, so your clothing also become tummy. Otherwise, the person becomes tummy. But you see it clearly in the Chumash. Sometimes the Torah says, you go to the mikveh and you're pure. Right? Sometimes the Torah says, you have to wash your clothing and go to the mikveh. Means the clothing also have to go to the mikveh. Okay, now is the next interesting passage that we learn out a lot of dinim when it comes to immersion. The Torah says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, "V'chol asheyiga be'azov, anything that the zov will touch, v'yadav leshatav b'mayim, and his hands are not washed in waters, v'chibes begadav, you have to wash his clothing, meaning in the mikveh, v'rochas b'mayim, and you have to go to the mikveh, v'tameh ad ha'erev." Now, obviously, if you wash your hands, it's not going to take off tumah. Right? If your body is impure and you go wash your hands, it's not going to take off the impurity. Why is the Torah saying over here that you didn't wash your hands? From here, the Gemara learns out a very basic fundamental, Rashi says it, from the Medrash. It means a very interesting halacha. When a person goes to the mikveh, now, what needs to be immersed in the water? I'll give you a simple example. Do you have to open up your mouth that water should go into your mouth?
No.
No. How do you know not? From where do we know not? Maybe you go to the mikveh, you have to open your mouth and let the water go into your mouth.
Drink
not drink chlorine water. Talk about. No, how do you know this?
The Gemara learns that.
No, they learn that from this pasuk. Because the Torah said the yod of leshutav b'mayim, meaning the verse speaks of the mikveh water must come in contact only with the visible external parts of the body, similar to the hands, meaning it needs not touch inside the mouth, ears, or nose, or similar things. But the Gemara learns out an interesting halacha. It needs to be fit that water should go in. In other words, a very interesting halacha. If somebody, it has to be clean.
Is that what they mean by fit?
Yeah, I'll explain to you in a second. For instance, if a man or a woman have to go to the mikveh, right? So, especially by women, which today only applies to the laws of Nida that we're going to soon learn. Otherwise, all these laws don't apply today. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. The only laws that apply today, we'll soon learn, is the laws of a woman who is a Nida. But, for instance, what happens if you go to the mikveh and your mouth is full of food? You close your mouth, but it's, you have food in the mouth. And you tevel like that. The din is, it's not a good immersion. Inside the mouth doesn't have to be immersed, so what do you care if there's stuff inside the mouth? Right? The answer is, you don't need to tevel inside the mouth and ears, or wherever it may be, but it has to be fit that the water should be able to go in there. Therefore, in halacha, there's a lot of what's called a chatzitza, which means a separation, that we're also going to learn a pasuk soon, that teaches us that you cannot have any separation between the body and the water. Because the Torah uses the expression, the water will come onto the body, meaning there is not allowed to have any separation between the water and the body. Therefore, if you have, let's say, a big bandage, right, you can't go to the mikveh like that, because there's something separating the water and your skin. If somebody has, let's say, loose things in the mouth. Or let's say, huh? Gum. Yeah, no, I'm saying, what happens if your teeth are dirty? You didn't brush your teeth, you didn't floss your teeth. And there's food particles in between the teeth. Right? Or somebody has, let's say, false dentures that come out. False teeth, yeah, that you take, could put in or out. So those have to come out. The question, why do they have to come out? The water doesn't have to go into the mouth anyway. What do I care if there's dentures in the mouth that can come out, or if there's dirt or food particles between the teeth? The answer is, the water doesn't have to go in there, but it has to be fit that the water should be able to go in. Then, therefore, a lot of the dinim that apply, again, like we said today, for women, or by the way, it also applies to a person converting. A person who's converting needs to biblically go to the mikveh. So then they also cannot have any chatzitza, any separations between, but the water doesn't have to go into the mouth, the water doesn't have to go into the ears, but it has to be that the water should be able to, what?
I'm sorry, I'm confused here.
So am I.
Men don't have to go to the mikvah, but they go anyway, but it's only good when you go to the temple, if there's a temple, right?
We will see soon. Really, we're going to see soon. Right. I just don't want to jump the gun.
I have another question.
What?
When a man goes to the mikvah, when is he clean? 7 days later?
No. A man goes to the mikvah, they're pure right away.
Right away or the night? No.
This that we're learning here about the night, you have to wait until the night, that is only referring to going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating korbanos, sacrifice, or eat, if you're going to eat truma. Oh. As far as everything else,
man, right away after he gets out,
you go to the mikveh, you're automatically pure. A woman goes to the mikveh, but we'll learn a woman can only go to the mikveh at night, most of the time. She becomes pure right away.
And why only at night?
We'll see. Okay. So therefore it says, the fact that the Torah said, v'yadav l'shata b'mayim, you didn't wash your hands in the water, doesn't mean only your hands, because like we said, if you're impure and you immerse only your hands in the mikveh, you don't become pure. Right? What it means is, it has to be, the mikvah water has to go only to those places that are like the hands, meaning open. Ochlicheres, now here's another din. Ochlicheres esheyiga bayazov yishavet. Any cheres, any earthenware vessel that azov touches, has to be broken. V'chol kliates, and any wooden utensil, then it could be yishate b'mayim, goes to the mikvah. And here the Torah is telling us another din. Once an earthenware vessel becomes impure, it can never become purified. You cannot take an earthenware klicheres, like china, or porcelain, or something like that, and put it into the mikveh and it's going to become pure. Why? It's exeris akosuv, illogical, like we know. Torah says you break it. If you break it, that's what makes it pure. Breaking it makes it pure. So there's an old Hasidic word, a person's body is made from the earth. So we're earthenware materials. You know how you purify a person? When he breaks himself, meaning he has bittul, he has humility, he feels like a broken vessel, he doesn't feel like he's a big shot, yeah? He feels he's a broken vessel, then he's able to become pure. Otherwise, a person can't be... You know, this is the way for an earthenware person, so to speak, to purify themselves by breaking themselves. Breaking their nature, breaking their evil. What?
Nothing is complete as a broken heart.
There's nothing as complete as a broken heart. In Yiddish, there's an expression, there's nothing as complete as a broken. It's a very interesting... A chassid once came to the previous Rebbe. He walked from far away, and the Friedrich Rebbe already started, you know, the meal, whatever. So the Friedrich Rebbe asked him if he made Kiddush. So he said no. So the Friedrich Rebbe told him to make Kiddush. Then he needed Lacha Mishnah, right? You need two challahs. But they started the challahs already. So the Friedrich Rebbe gave him two broken challahs. That's a Sadish Chinuch anyway. If you don't have two whole ones, you take two broken ones. But he gave him two broken ones, and he said in Yiddish that there's nothing as complete as a broken one. Which refers in Avedis, in serving Hashem, that if a person is broken within himself, then you become a complete person. In fact, that's a very interesting, in Shemon Esrei, we say a very strange two statements next to each other. In Alakai Nitzor, we say like this. V'nafshi ka'afar l'kol tihiyah, my soul should be like earth. And then we say, p'sach libi b'sarda secha, open up my heart in your Torah, my mitzvahs, I should chase mitzvahs, and so on. So the Rebbe said this many times. In Chassidus it says, the tefillah says, my soul should be like dirt, open up my heart in Torah. So it says, what the tefillah is really saying, that's not two separate things. If you want to open up your heart in Torah, you need to first feel like dirt, bittul. If you have bittul, humility, you know, you feel like dirt, so to speak, so then you're able to open up your heart and mind in Torah and mitzvahs, because then you don't think about yourself as much as you do about Hashem. So this is what it says over here. So kli cheres is has to be broken. The kol kli eitz, but if it's earthenware, a wooden vessel, if it's wooden vessel, you shot it by mine, you have to bring it to the mikvah. And then it becomes purified. Now he says like this. V'chiyitar azav mizayvei. So the zav is like this. He's tamei. Okay. Now he says like this. When he finishes his zav, and as the mefarshim explain, it doesn't mean he's pure because he's not pure yet. It means when he finishes the flowing from the body. He has to go count 7 clean days. And he has to immerse his clothing. And here, a zav needs natural spring water. It can be what's called a mayan. It can be a mikvah. A zav is the only impurity in the Torah that the Torah says you need to go into a well. A natural spring water. Not a regular mikveh. A river or something like that, yeah. He can't just go in regular rainwater, which is a mikveh, but he actually needs to have it...
A mayan,
yeah.
And lake?
Huh?
A lake is
also, yeah. So in other words, when he finishes having these discharges, right, he needs to go count 7 days, and then he goes into the natural spring water. Vayem Hashmini on the 8th day, after the 7 clean days, Yikach Leishtei Seirem Eshnei B'nei Yena, he takes 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, meaning birds, Obalifnei Hashem, and he comes before Hashem, El Pesach El Meid, to the door of the El Meid, when the son of Malakayin, he gives the birds to the Kayin to bring as a carbon. Now the Mefarshim point out, a leper brings animals. If he's wealthy, he brings 3 animals. If not, he brings 1 animal and some birds. Here, when this Zav finishes his discharge in the 7 clean days, the Torah says he only brings 2 birds. So Mefarshim explained like this. Why did Hashem tell him to bring birds, not an animal? Because birds, one Kayin could do himself. Right? A Kayin could take 2 birds and shecht them. You don't need a whole bunch of Kayanim. You're making a whole show out of it. When it deals with animals, you need more Kayanim to help. So it says like this. By a leper, Hashem doesn't care about the embarrassment of the person. For 2 reasons. Number 1, everybody anyway knows about it. He's excommunicated for a week or 2 outside the camp anyway. Right? So everybody knows that he was a leper. So the fact that he brings a carbon, big deal. Everybody knows he's a leper. But Hashem is worried that this is an embarrassment. He's impure, there's discharges from the body.
Nobody knows.
He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to bring animals. It's going to become a whole procedure. Kayanim, a few Kayanim are coming. The Torah says, you know what? I don't want this person to be embarrassed. So I'm going to tell him to bring 2 birds. Quietly, 1 Kayan will do it. And then it's finished. Okay, now, it says, the Ramban explains over here that the Zav becomes Tamei because it's actually an illness of the reproductive organ, so to speak. It's a flow of a liquid. So therefore, obviously something caused him to get this illness. He must have sinned that caused him to get this illness. So therefore, the 2 birds, the Pasuk says, V'asa esem akein, Pasuk tezvav, echot chatos, ve'echot eila. One a chatos and one a neila. Why does he bring a sin offering? What aveda did he do? We don't know what he did. But the fact that he became ill, that caused him to have these discharges, obviously he did an aveda. So he has to bring a sin offering for that. And the oila is a thanks to Hashem that he cured him from the illness. This is the reason why Hashem doesn't want it to shame him. It's by a single kayin, the Mefarshim explain. And therefore he brings a sin offering because obviously he sinned. And he brings the oila as a thanks to Hashem that he cured him. Then the Pasuk says like this. Ish ki seitzim min ha-shech v'zera. Now this is called Balkeri. A Zav is a person that had 3 days in a row. Like we learned before, right? 3 days in a row he had these discharges. So he needs to count 7 clean days. And he needs to bring a carbon. If a person sees it once, he only goes to the mikveh and he's pure in the evening. It doesn't have to be in kabbanis, he's not tummy for 7 days, and so on. So now the Torah speaks about what's called a balkedi. A balkedi means that semen, there's a discharge of zera, of semen, and it says, v'ish ki seitim mimenu shivcha zara, a man that, for whatever, there's an emission of what's called the semen, which is called the balkedi, v'rachatz b'mayim is called besarei, he has to go to the mikveh with all his flesh, v'tomei ado erev, and he's tummy until the evening. Okay? V'chol baget v'chol or, and any garment or any leather, ashiyalav shech v'zer, that have the semen on it, v'chubes b'mayim, he has to wash it in the water, v'tomei ado erev. Now, there was a whole thing that Ezra made a takana, even though this tachere doesn't apply today, because we have no Beis HaMikdash, right? So, if a man has an emission of Zera, big deal, so he's tummy, but everybody's tummy today. It really doesn't matter. Ezra made a takana that a Balkari should not be able to learn it to daven with it, and the Gemara says it was too difficult, and Ezra's takana became nullified, and therefore, but by Chassidim, they have a minig of anyway going to the mikveh, whether they have this emission or not, as an additional level of purity. Like we explained a while ago, that a mikveh has two abilities to it. A mikveh could purify the impure, right? If you're impure, you go to the mikveh, you become pure. And the second thing a mikveh does, even if you're not pure, I mean impure, even if you're not impure, the mikveh adds additional kedusha, additional purity. Like we discussed, the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh 5 times in Yom Kippur. Trust me, he didn't become tamei 5 times. Right? But what does it mean is, each time adds another level of holiness, of sanctity. So there's two aspects of a mikveh. A mikveh is to remove impurity, and also to add kedusha, even if somebody's not impure. But this is in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and also not only that, but in Yud Ches it says, v'isha sheyishkav isha isha shech v'zera, a woman who had relations with a man, meaning normal marital relations, they have to go to the mikveh, and they were tummy until the evening. Meaning in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when there were marital relations, the husband and wife both became tummy. The next morning they had to go to the mikveh, and they remained impure until the evening, then they were allowed to go into the, you know, eat kabanis, or if they were a kayin truma, or go into the Beis HaMikdash, whatever. But they actually became tummy every time there was marital relations in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we're starting the concept of Zava and Nida. Now, there is a din, and everything until now doesn't apply today. Like we said, it only applies for the time of the Beis HaMikdash, to go in, to eat korbanos, whatever it is. Now starts what's called Nida and Zava. Now, I'm going to just explain a few general rulings before we see the details of the psukim. Zava and Nida, basically, is the same thing. It's the menstrual cycle. The only question is, as the Torah will say, there is what's called Be'es Nidasa, with the time which she normally would get her period, and then there would be a time B'lay Es Nidasa, not at the time she would get her period. Nida is when she gets this the cycle during the normal time. And the Gemara says it's 11 days between cycle to cycle. And I'm just going to tell you a few rules because it's going to sound complicated, but it's not. So Zava is when a woman has a flow, not during the normal time she gets her cycle. Znida is when she gets the normal cycle. Okay? In Torah, it says, Anida is Tamei for 7 days. Okay? That means, if she sees 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, Anida, if it's at the time of her, what's called officially the Torah time of her cycle, a woman is tummy for 7 days. Even if she saw 7 days, and she stopped, the seventh day she goes to the mikveh, and she's pure. You don't need 7 clean days for Anida. For Anida, she's tummy 7 days, the Torah is going to say after 7 days she goes to the mikveh, and she's pure. Zava, the Torah says, she needs to count 7 clean days. She needs to count 7 clean days of nothing. Because Nida and Zava are very complicated, to know when is Nida, when is Zava, because you have to know it from the time they're born, you have to know already if it's within the 11 days, after the 11 days, before the 11 days. So it says, B'nai Yisrael l'chmiro l'atzmam. This is going back thousands of years, that the Jewish women were strict upon themselves, that they combined Nida and Zava together, and therefore, even by Nida, they wait 7 clean days before they go to the mikveh. Even though biblically, Nida, she starts it, 7 days later she goes to the mikveh and she's done. They put added the strictness of Zava and Nida together, that they need 7 clean days. And this is what the Torah basically is going to be discussing now. And this applies obviously today, because this is about relations between husband and wife. So these dinim do apply today. Let's call it Taras HaMishpacha, you know, and so on. Okay, Isha Kitiya Zava. If a woman will have a discharge, Damiya Zava Bibsara, discharge will be blood. Shivas Yamim Tia Midinda, so 7 days she's a Nida. Chana Negea Ba Yitmar Erev, whoever touches her is also tummy until the evening. She's tummy for 7 days. But for those 7 days, any person, male or female, man, woman, or child, that she touches, becomes impure. Okay? And they have to go to the mikveh, but they're only tummy until the evening. A person who touches the nida. And therefore, like we discussed, whatever it was, a few weeks ago, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when a woman had her period, she wore special garments that everybody should know she's a nida, because if she gave Shalom Aleichem to her friend, right, the friend became tamei, she had to go to the mikveh, and cannot eat korbanis or go into the Beis HaMikdash until evening, so everybody had to know when she was a nida or not. So she would wear special garments so everybody would know that she was impure. But she herself was impure for 7 days. Then it says like this, V'chol asher tishkav alav b'nidasa yitma, anything that she'll lay on becomes tamei. V'chol asher yiteshev alav yitma, anything that she sits on will become impure. V'chol anegeh b'mishkava, anything that touches in the thing that she laid on. Yechaveh b'gadov, has to wash her clothing, the clothing become tamei of the person. V'rachatz b'mayim, has to go to the mikveh. V'tamei ado erev, and the tamei until the evening again. Anybody who touches a vessel that she sits on, okay, Yechab is begodov, he becomes tamei. The rachas b'mayim, and he has to go to the mikveh. The tamei ado erev, and tamei until the evening. Okay, so if you touch it, you sit on it, you touch what she sits on. V'imala mishkavu, and if it's on something, okay, it says like this. What this pasuk is saying is like this. Not only do you become tamei if he touches the bedding, but he becomes tamei if he supports his weight on the bedding, riding equipment or furniture. Okay? Meaning, even if he was covered with blankets that he didn't actually touch the bed, he would still become tamei. Yitmar erev, v'mshachav yishk, v'mshachav yishkav ishesa, and if a man would have relations with her, v'osi nidasa alav, and she would be a nida, v'tamei shivas yam, he becomes tamei 7 days too. That means like this. If you touch a nida, or anything she touched, you become tamei for a day. Meaning you have to go to the mikveh, and you remain tamei for the day. A man had relations with the woman who was a nida, then he becomes tamei for 7 days. Just like her. Besides the fact that the Torah, you know, as we know, there's a concept called karis, that is a premature death from Hashem if somebody has relations with a woman, if she's a nida. And that mean nida, by the way, as we'll soon discuss, is once she becomes a nida, and if she never went to the mikveh, 100 years later, if she's still alive, she still has a din of a nida. You know, you never get rid of this tumah, or any tumah for that matter. Anytime a person's tamei, it doesn't wear off after 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You become tamei, you're tamei until you go to the mikveh. Which means if a person touched something tamei, and 5 years later didn't go to the mikveh yet, and went into the Beis HaMikdash, he would be punished for going as an impure person into the Beis HaMikdash. A woman, once she gets her cycle, becomes tamei forever, so to speak, until she goes to the mikveh. Here the Torah is saying that if a man has relations with her, besides the fact that it's kares, but here the Torah is not talking about that. The Torah is just speaking about the laws of impurity. She becomes impure for 7 days. Now, the Isha, this is if a woman has, what? Huh? Okay. The Isha ki pasik chavei. What happens if a woman has an extended flow, but not at the time of her nida, like we said, not in those 11 days, okay? Or if she had a flow after the separation of 7 days, as long as the flow is going, she is tummy for that extended period of time. Tumeya he, she's tummy. Meaning as follows. If it's at the time of the cycle, the nida is tummy for 7 days. If she's not in that period of time, it's in a different period of time, she's tummy for as long as the flow goes. Not necessarily 7 days. If, let's say, she sees in a different time 2 days, she's tummy for 2 days. But, as we'll soon learn, she needs 7 clean days before she can go to the mikveh. So nida, meaning if it's in that period of time, she's tummy for 7 days regardless. And then she goes to the mikveh and she's done. If it's below as nidas, if it's not in that normal time, then she's tummy for the amount of time of the duration of whatever it was, the flow, 2, 3, 4 days, whatever it is. And then, as the Torah says, she's going to have to count the other 7 clean days. Anything that she'll lay on during the time of her zayv, Kemishkav nidasi yila will be like a nida. V'chol kliya sheteishiv all of any vessel that she sits on, tuma yihya will have the same tuma, kutumas nidasa like the tuma of her cycle. V'chol anegebam yitmo, whoever touches them will become tuma. V'chibes begadav, they have to wash in the mikveh. V'tuma ar erev, and she'll have to go to the mikveh. V'mtara mizeva, and when she ceases, stops the zav, she has to count 7 clean days, and then she becomes tahar. So this is, like we said, the Zava, the Torah says she needs 7 clean days. Nida, the Torah does not say she needs 7 clean days. But because it's a whole mix-up, one's Nida, one's Zava, and one's Zava, you know, we don't know, so the women do both chumras. They wait, and then they go 7 clean days. But Yom HaShmini, in the 8th day, she has to take 2 birds. Nida doesn't. Nida's tummy 7 days, she goes to the mikveh, finished. Zava has to count 7 clean days after she stops. Then she has to take on the 8th day 2 birds. Ve'avia eisim al hakein, and she has to bring them to the kain, or pesach el meid, to the door of the el meid. Just to explain something, the concept of Nida, b'chlal, all these laws of Tum and Tara, are completely irrational, illogical, like we said. It's what's called Gzeres HaKasa. There's no logic behind it. There is, by the way, Dam Nida, the concept of the woman getting the period, is as an offshoot and an outcome of the Eitz Hadas. Because Chava caused Adam to sin, so Hashem punished them, so to speak, that there's the concept of Dam Nida with the impurity that goes with it and so on. Not that there's a logic in it, but the reason, some of Farshim explain the logic why a Nida is tummy for 7 days, because basically the woman gets a cycle because she didn't become pregnant. Because she didn't become pregnant, that's why she does the cycle. Now, therefore, pregnancy is life. The fact that she gets her cycle means she didn't create life. So therefore, it's the concept of impurity like a dead body. In other words, instead of creating life, because she didn't create life, she got her cycle again, That's similar to the concept of death, not creating life. And therefore, just like a dead body, the Torah says, we read Shabbos and Parshas Parah, that it's tummy for 7 days. You know, you have to have the tummy for 7 days. So this is one of the explanations they give in the meaning of need, even though it's, like I said, totally illogical, because it doesn't make sense, and so on and so forth. But it's the fact that she's not creating life. The Kohen makes one a chatas, one an eila. V'chiper aleh ha-kohen lefnei Hashem, and the Kohen will forgive her before Hashem. Mizayv tumasa, from the contamination of her flowing. So again, the fact that the zav is not in the normal time, so it's again like an illness. So therefore, she needs to bring a chatas and the oila, the sin offering, because something obviously caused it to happen, and the thanks to Hashem. Okay, now the pasuk concludes this whole leprosy, tumah, this whole thing. You should separate the Jewish people from their tumah, and they shouldn't die in their impurity. By contaminating my mishkan. I mean, if they would go into the mishkan, they would be contaminating it. Asher b'seichem, which is in their midst. So basically, Hashem is saying, the Mefashim explain another interesting concept. The Izartem in the English here is translated as you should separate. Okay? That's what the word Izartem. Rashi says, Ein Nezira Ela Prisha. It's separation. Okay? But some people explain it, Vizartem comes from the word Zer, which is a crown. The majestic crown of the Jewish people is that there is Tuma and Tara, there is the laws of purity and impurity. This is what separates the Jews from everything else, that by a Jew there's purity and impurity. By the earth separating themselves from the earthly contamination, and this is the crown of the Jewish people. Because there's an interesting concept, we discussed this a long time ago. You know, a Jew wakes up in the morning, you have to do netilah, right? You have to do neglavasar, tells you dime. A non-Jew doesn't. Non-Jew doesn't wake up in the morning, they can touch your food, they can, you know, it's no problem. A Jew doesn't touch food before you wash netilah, before you wash neglavasar. Why is it that a guy doesn't have to wash until Siddayim, and they can touch your food and there's no problem, and the Jew has to wash until Siddayim? So it says that the concept of purity and impurity is as follows. Impurity sets in where purity left. When there's purity and it leaves, it creates a vacuum that impurity sets in. If there was never purity to begin with, then impurity doesn't set in. So because the Torah says the Jews are Kedusha, holy nation, so when the Neshama leaves at night and goes up, and sleep is the 60th of death, so Tumah sets in. Impurity sets in. Because there's a void now from the holiness that was there. But a guy never had this level of Kedusha, so when they sleep, even if the soul goes up, there's never impurity setting in, because there was no purity that left. And therefore, for instance, all these concepts that we're learning about the bodily impurities don't apply to a non-Jew. You know, by a non-Jew, there's no concept of nida. A non-Jewish woman doesn't have the impurity of nida. Or a man doesn't have the impurity of a zav. This only applies uniquely to the Jewish people, because the Jewish people have Kedusha, so when this Kedusha leaves, for whatever reason it is, that's when the impurity sets in. What?
Why washing before eating bread, before eating a meal?
They have to do with Truma. Meaning? They're not the real Truma. It's because their hands are very... The hands, we don't control our hands, what they touch, yeah? That's why we wash the bread. But it's not the same level of tumah. That's why it's a different type of washing. Yeah.
What are the things that a woman cannot do while she is nida?
No, the question was, what restrictions does a woman have at the time of her cycle until she goes to the mikveh? Primarily, no relations. Many women during the actual cycle will not go to a cemetery. It says in Shulchan Aruch that women are careful, so to speak, that they will, during the actual need of time, they will not look at a Sefer Torah when it's picked up. And when you pick up a Sefer Torah in the shul, it says a woman, women are nohagu tahara ba'atzmam, that they purify themselves, they don't look at a Sefer Torah when it's, but as far as going to shul, it's not a problem. In technical halacha, a woman or a man who's tamei can even touch a Sefer Torah, because the Torah can never become tamei.
Cooking?
No problem. There's no problem cooking and, you know, all these things. In today's halacha, the only halacha applies is as far as relations with the husband. But as far as everything else, it's nothing. But a Sefer Torah cannot become tamei. Therefore, a person who's tamei is allowed to learn Torah. Because it says in the Pasuk, Halei kei devari ka'esh. Hashem says, my words are like fire. So in what respect is Torah likened to fire? So the Gemara says, Ma'esh eina mekabel tumah, avdivere teira eina mekabel tumah. Just like fire cannot become tamei, fire can never become tamei, Torah can never become tamei. Technically, a person whose tamei is allowed to touch a Sefer Torah, to hold a Sefer Torah, kiss a Sefer Torah, you know, things like that. I said it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that many women don't look at the Sefer Torah when they pick it up during the actual time. But that's it.
Yeah. Can she get married?
Can she get married at the time of... Yeah. She can't have relations, though, until she goes to the mikveh. That's all. Yeah. Okay, so it says in Laman Aleph, you should separate the children or crowd them from their impurity, not to impurify the Mishkan. Then it says, this is the laws of concerning a person with discharge, a person that has the submission of seed, to become Tomei, Benidasa, and the woman who suffers during the time of a nida, Vazav Ezevi, and the person that has this flow, Lazachal and the cable, whether it's male or female, or Leishin, for a man, Ashayishkav and Tamea, that will live with a contaminated woman, all these laws that, you know, the Torah mentioned until now. That finishes these laws. Now we'll start the next parsha. We'll start it at least. You should make a party, you finished.
Not 5 years.
It took us, I told you, the first time 15 years, from beginning to end.
What? Woman's desolate liaison is a part we don't have now. Today
is totally irrelevant.
It follows her, so if she's in Nida, then it is,
right.
But as soon as she's out of the mikveh, it doesn't change, but it changes because she changed.
Right. Like again, those laws are totally irrelevant today.
Are they
going to
come back?
Yeah, when Mashiach comes, every woman who was ever a Zava is going to have to bring Karbanis, the two birds. Every convert is going to have to bring a Karban after the Gaitis. There's going to be lines around the world for all the sin offerings we're going to have to bring. I mean, think about it. People that sin today, the Rambam writes that for a convert, you have a person converting to Yiddishkeit, there's three parts of it. There's Mila, Tvila, and Karban. The Torah says you have to have a bris if it's a man. They have to go to the mikveh, and they have to bring a carbon. And so the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it down, that the carbon doesn't stop you from becoming Jewish. The circumcision and the mikveh do. No bris, no mikveh, acceptance of mitzvahs, you're not a Jew. But that makes you a Jew. The carbon, you have a debt. When Mashiach comes, you're going to have to bring a sacrifice. And the same thing with all the sin offerings and... A woman who gives birth, the Torah says, when she finishes, she has to bring a carbon. So every woman that gave birth in the time of Golus, is when Mashiach comes, she's going to have to bring a carbon. I mean, long lines. Better take a number now. Okay. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, page 636. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Achrei Meshnei B'nei Aaron, Hashem spoke to Moshe, after the death of Aaron's two children that we learned about in Parsha Shmini. Now, if you remember in Parsha Shmini, the Torah spoke about the dedication of the Mishkan. Nadav and Avihu brought this foreign carbon, right, the foreign fire. They died. Then the Torah went into the laws of kosher animals, treifa animals, human impurity, animal impurity. So the Torah like went off from the story of Nadav and Avihu. The Torah just went off at the end of Parsha Shmini, kosher animals, treifa animals, kosher fish, treifa fish, into Tazria Metzera that spoke about the laws of purity and impurity of humans. Now the Torah is really going back to the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Okay, now the Torah is going to be discussing in the next good part of the Parsha the process of what was done on Yom Kippur. Okay, with the forgiveness of the Jewish people. But it says, Achre Meshnei B'nei Aaron, after the two children of Aaron died, Kavasim Lefnei Hashem, by them becoming close before Hashem, by Yomusa, and they died. So Rashi says like this, why does the Torah say over here, after Aaron's two children died? He wants to tell us the laws of Yom Kippur that he's going to say in the next pasuk. Hashem spoke to Moshe. These are the laws of Yom Kippur. Why is the Torah emphasizing that Hashem said to him after the two children of Aaron died? So Rashi gives the famous mashal, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave a mashal, analogy. A doctor comes to the patient and he says, don't eat these foods because you're going to get sick. Okay? Or, as they say on the cigarettes, it says, Surgeon General warning, all the blah, blah, blahs about, you know, junk food or cigarettes or all that stuff. Then another doctor comes to a patient and says to him, don't smoke, I'm paraphrasing, don't smoke because you're going to die from smoking like your friend died from smoking. Okay? We know if a doctor tells you, don't eat this food, it's unhealthy, you'll either listen or not. But if you had a close friend or relative that died from this thing that the doctor is telling you not to do, so it's going to affect you much more. Because not only do you know it's wrong, now you feel it's wrong. Okay? So when Hashem is telling Moshe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, this is a much stronger warning. What was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? They went in to godliness when they weren't supposed to. So Hashem's going to tell Moshe now, you can only go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, and any other time you're not allowed to go. Because if you go in any other time, you're going to die like Aaron's two children died. And therefore, as the introduction to the laws of Yom Kippur, that says in the next pasuk, Al Yavi B'chol Eisa LaKadosh, you cannot go into the Holy of Holies whenever you want, only on Yom Kippur, the Torah prefaces it by saying, you know what happened to somebody else that did? They died. So therefore it's much, much stronger. There's a very interesting concept over here, first of all, the famous Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh that discusses the real sin of Nadav and Avihu that we said, they had such a longing to godliness that we learned then. It's such a longing to godliness that the neshama popped out of the body, and that was their sin. So, the Ohr HaChaim learns it in this pasuk. What was the sin of Shnei B'nei Aaron? Bekarvasim Lifnei Hashem. They entered a level higher than the name of Yudkei Vavkei. In other words, Yudkei Vavkei is the name of Hashem. Names, we learned, is the way Hashem identifies with the world. A person themselves, the essence of the person does not need a name. You need a name, we learned, because somebody needs to be identified, right? Somebody wants to talk about you, somebody wants to call you, somebody wants to identify you, then you need a name. If you're all alone, you don't need a name. And therefore the Medrash says that Hashem, when he met Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what's your name? So in Chumash it says Hashem said to him, Eyasher. Right? But in the Medrash it says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmi Atareitza Leida. You want to know my name? My name? Lefi Maisai Ani Nikra. I'm called based on what I do. Hashem has seven names. The seven names, it's called the Sheva Shemis, She'enem Nemchokim, the seven holy names of God. Right? There's Hashem, and there's Elohim, and there's Kel, and there's Shaddai, and Tzvoyis, all the seven names of Hashem. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean you want to know my name? I don't have a name. When I do chesed, when I do kindness, I'm called Kel. Because the pasuk says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayim. When I do punishment, I'm called Elokim. When I do Rachmonis, mercy, I'm called Yud Kei Vav Kei. When I fight battles, I'm called Tzvois. When I do this, I'm called Shin Dalet Yud. Hashem said to Meshe Rabbeinu, I don't have a name. What I do, that's when I get a name. So what does this mean? So we learned already a long time ago that Hashem's essence is unaffiliated with the world. Therefore, he doesn't need a name. Like, but if you're by yourself, you're not associating with anybody, you don't need a name. When do you need a name? When you associate with, to be identified with somebody else. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I, myself, I don't have a name. I'm above names. I'm above names. When do I have a name? When I identify with world. When I do something in the world. Then I'm called Kel, then I'm called Elokim, then I'm called Yud Kei Vav Kei, then I'm called the various names. When I interact and I become identified with world, that's when I have a name. Otherwise Hashem says, I don't have a name. And the truth of the matter is, we say this 100 times a day. Literally 100 times a day. We make a bracha, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaElam. Atah was Atah. Atah is you. Nameless. You, God, as they say, I is what I is. I am what I am. You are what you are. Atah means the essence of Hashem. No name. We have it by Sarasa Dibris. Anechi Hashem Elokecha. Anechi means me. I am. Then I have Hashem Elokecha. Okay, it's later. But the bottom line is, Anechi is higher than Hashem's name. Atah is higher than Hashem's name. Lifnei Hashem, the Mefarshim explains, especially in Kabbalah and Chassidus, Lifnei Hashem means higher than the name of Hashem. We're talking about the essence of Hashem. The sin of Nadav and Avihu was, they saw such a longing to godliness that their souls just couldn't handle being in a world. Their souls popped out of the body. And that's why by Yomusu means the neshama staka left the body. What was the sin? We'll talk about much more next time. What was the sin? God said, I don't want you to die, I want you to live. I want you to have a longing. I want you to want to leave the body. But at the same time, you need to realize, I don't want you dead, I want you alive. So you need to return. The sin of Nadav and Avihu was, they had a rotsu, a longing, without the shuv, without the returning. And Hashem says in the Yechezkel, the pasuk, "Varchai yisrotze v'sheiv." Hashem wants the longing, but at the same time, He wants the return. And that was their sin. It wasn't there a bunch of drunkards. We'll discuss next week more details of this.